Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We are getting nearer to wrapping everything up as we talk about things that are important to the kingdom, important for us to understand about how to advance the kingdom and what God does through us and our part in God's kingdom here on earth. Today we are going to talk about the process. We've talked about clear mission and values. We've talked about the specific desired goals and product. We've talked about the church, the organization, and the big word there that embodies, since the church is the body of Christ, embodies the mission and values. Today we're going to talk about process that produces the desired goal or product. In other words, how do we make people who have Jesus in them, who then live like Jesus, and then how do we actually become this unstoppable movement as opposed to whatever the world may try to characterize the church as being? So, the goals or products, again, like I've just said, one, people who have Jesus living in them that live like He lived, and community of people who have Jesus living in their midst, who are an unstoppable movement of grace, reconciliation, redemption, and nurture. And again, I guess I say that, I want to remind us that the important thing is that we do that, that we not be a community of people that the world sees as calcified, judgmental, and self-righteous. We can't be that. We can't let the world characterize us as that. We have to do everything we can to do this instead of that. Because that is the way the enemy marginalizes the kingdom of God. So today we've got to talk about how we get to those two things. What has to happen in order to produce people who have Jesus living in them that live like He lived? Because if we don't have some kind of idea as to how that happens, we just expect God to magically turn the switch. It doesn't work that way. Because even whenever people come to Christ, and even if their hearts are changed, they still don't know how to do it. Because I didn't know how to do it. Even when I knew God had done something in my life, I knew that I was different. I knew that my desires were different. I had no idea at all as to how that was supposed to happen in my life. None. Till somebody came along and said, "Here, hang out with me." So, the things that I want to propose, and these are all biblical. We're going to look at the biblical passages that support them. The first thing is that in order to have people who have Jesus living in them that live like He lived, first of all, you've got to have transformation. God's got to do a work in their heart. There's got to be a change of heart, change of life. Secondly, time with God. There is nothing that stands in the place of time with God. Third, time with community. You can't make it optional. It is not optional. It's not biblical to make it optional. Period. Four, take it outward bound. It's the kingdom's purpose is to expand the kingdom. That's what it's about. Number five, oh, we didn't like that one. Testing. Okay, testing. And last is trust. Those two really go hand in hand, but we're going to talk about them separately. Testing and trust. They're all T's just because I can make them all T's. That's it. All right, so let's talk about where we find these in the Bible as we talk about how does this desired product happen? How do we become people who have Jesus living in us who live like He lived? So transformation, John 3, 5 through 7. Yes, it's when He was talking to Nicodemus. That night, Nicodemus came to Him, asked Him the question. And Jesus' response to Nicodemus' question is, "The truth is that no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives new life from heaven. So don't be surprised at my statement that you must be born again." Transformation. Also, you have 2 Corinthians 5:17. Everybody knows what that says, right? If any man is in Christ, He is a new creation. Okay. Transformation. It's not the same anymore. God does something inside of whatever inside a person means. Because all these things we're talking about, we're just doing the best we can to describe it because we don't really know how it works. We don't know how. We can't put a finger on it. Did a cell change? No. Can we see a spiritual change? Only as it's lived out. We can't actually see what's happened other than the evidence of it. But this transformation, this must be born of the Spirit, has to happen. So transformation is essential. And this is something that only God can do. We can't gin it up. We can't manipulate it. We can't persuade anybody to be transformed. Only God can do that. Okay? Second T. Time with God. Now you know, as much as we all know this is true, the sad thing is, we don't live it the way we ought to. How many times do we get so hurried in a week that we didn't even take one day to sit and hang out and listen and talk with God and do nothing else but do that? Now, I talk to God all the time during the day, don't you? Okay? I mean, I'm in my car or I'm doing something somewhere. And I'm talking to God like He was right there. Because sometimes that's like the only way that I can redeem my day. And I can live with the right mind is if I do that. Time with God. Romans 12:2. You know this. You've heard this before. I'm going to share it with you in the New Living Translation. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you. That word keeps coming back. Transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. And the only way that happens is if you are hanging out with Him. Time with God. It's listening, not just talking. It's letting the Word speak. It's letting Him impress things upon your heart. It's a matter of actually expecting God to say something back to you. Maybe not audibly, but He's going to impress something on your heart. Bring something to your mind. Use somebody to speak to you. All that stuff. Time with God. We have a hard time being quiet. You know, because sometimes if I get quiet, I'll go to sleep. I mean, I finally get quiet. I can have a morning full of classes and I get an hour. I have like 2 hours of class, then I have an hour, and then I have 2 hours of class. In that hour, there's times where I am doing everything I can to keep my eyes open. Because when I get quiet, I get tired. We fight that all the time. Sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes we get busy. Sometimes the distraction is attack, and sometimes the distraction is busyness. Either way. But what God wants us to know is that He longs to just hang out with us and give Him a chance to say something to us about our choices, about how to improve ourselves and our families. He's got answers and we're just not giving Him the time. Time with God. Transformation, time with God, time with community. All right. We'll go to the quintessential passage on time with community. Hebrews 10:23-25. You've heard it preached. So here it is once more. The writer of Hebrews says, without wavering, let us hold tightly to the hope that we say we have. For God can be trusted, wow, we're going to talk about that in a minute, to keep His promise. Think of ways to encourage one another to outbursts of love and good deeds. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of His coming back is drawing near. So we need each other more than ever to be encouraged, to help, to challenge, to warn, do all those things that we need to do to become more like Jesus. And if we're not hanging out together, we're missing something. You know, what do we tell those people who have all those good excuses? Or sometimes, what do we tell ourselves when we're the ones making good excuses? Now, am I saying that we ought to legalistically tell people that if they don't come to church, then there's something wrong with their relationship with God? Well, if you miss one out of 52, then, I mean, are we going to be that silly? But that's not the issue. The issue is, where's your heart? Is it easy for you to wake up and dismiss the fact that there's a community of faith that God's placed you in that you need to be around and that needs you? That's the issue. Is not, are we going to be legalistic and say, oh, no, no, no. The question is, where's your heart? Do you understand how God has constructed you, how He's constructed the kingdom, and how we need each other, and how we're all desperately so important to one another? Do we get it? Can we easily dismiss being together? Because that is a problem. Time with community is very important if we're going to be the kind of person who has Jesus living in them, who lives like He lives. Because if I don't have somebody in my life that's close enough to me to watch me and see me and know me and say, Rick, did you say that a little harsh? Or Rick, did you think that one through? Or Rick, why did you do that? If I don't have you in my life, I don't have my family in my life, then I'm not going to be growing nor challenged where God wants to grow me nor challenge me. Won't happen. Next T, take it outward bound. We all know this passage too. Acts 1:8. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power and will tell people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That outward effect, starting here, moving out like a ripple from Jerusalem to the world. For us, from Savannah, or even from this part of Savannah, to Chatham County, to McRae, to wherever it is in Nigeria that Kennedy's from, and beyond. Okay? Take it outward bound. If we're not taking it outward bound, what are we missing? Why does that have to be a part of being people who have Jesus living in them, who lived like He lived? It's what He did. So why did He do it? Okay. So the good news, which is what? Okay, what is the gospel? Which is what? Jesus saves. Mike says, Jesus saves, okay? That Jesus Christ embodies the person who is the Son of the living God, who came, who taught, who lived a sinless life, who died on the cross, He says, in order to forgive our sins, rose on the third day like He said He would, and then ascended to the Father, and now is our intercessor, and is the one who is on our side, who has accomplished all this for us. To change us to this. Take it outward bound. What happens when we don't? Okay, we become bored and stagnant, and other people do not hear the good news. Ultimately, who ends up the loser, to some respect? Thank you, Daniel. Good answer. Okay, God chooses us to take the gospel to the world. And when we don't, what has He continuously done historically when people don't? What, see? Shuts their stuff down. He raises up others and gives them the opportunity. It's not that He says, okay, I'm punting you and I'm casting you out. You just don't get the blessing. And you end up being miserable. Because you know and I know that if we're not taking the message out, living the message out, we know that's what we were made to do. And we're miserable because we become dissatisfied. And we begin to think that there is no power in the gospel because we're not living the gospel. All right, next T. After 1 Peter 2:12. Sorry, got another passage for that. Be careful how you live. So it's not just what you say. Be careful how you live among your unbelieving neighbors. Even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will believe and give honor to God when He comes to judge the world. So it is not just what we say that proclaims the good news. It's how we live too. Just want to make sure we get that balance. All right. Testing. Yay! James 1:2-4. James says, again, got to remember, this is a guy that lived in the same house with Jesus, guy that was in charge of the church in Jerusalem. He said, dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy, for when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. Testing. In order to be a person who has Jesus living in them, who lived like He lived, testing is going to happen. It has to happen. Did Jesus get tested, by the way? So tell me the story. How did Jesus get tested? Wait. When He was in the desert, it was right after His baptism, right? Didn't the Bible say that the Spirit directed Him straight to the desert? He got tempted. He got tested. Did His testing end there, by the way? Anybody who's got a teenager that lives in their house, can you imagine what Jesus had to put up with all throughout His ministry? Because all those scribes and Pharisees were acting like a bunch of teenagers. They were more worried about who got primped and who got noticed and who had the good seats and who had it right and all that. All the days of His ministry life, He was tested. I think I would have done a lot more than overthrown the tables in the temple whenever He got there. And He was pretty upset about how they were making money off the temple, cheap people, not being fair to them. Testing. So we're going to be tested. And the testing is so that we will be fully developed. You know another word for, what's another way you can say fully developed? Mature, right. That big word, mature. Strong in character and ready for anything. When we avoid testing, or we live like we can avoid testing, are we really being mature? Back when I was a kid, I think I was about 10, I had a friend whose dad had all these molds, and he would make little metal soldiers out of pewter or lead. Okay, and I remember being in their basement, and it was, you know, soldier making time, and you know, he had the big kettle looking thing, and it was heated up over the gas fire, you know, gas flame, and he was doing that. He was heating it up, impurity, and he'd skim off the impurity. And then finally, whenever he got all that stuff out of the way, then he would start pouring that lead into the mold so that he could form those soldiers. I don't even know what he did with them, but I remember playing with them. Testing. Heat. Trouble. Difficulty. Adversity. Anytime we encounter that stuff, I'm going to be bold. 95 to 98% of the time, we think, this is bad. This is evil. This is not good. And it may be. I don't know. But the testing has its purpose. Evidently, God's allowed it so that we would have the dross skimmed off of our lives and we would really get it and we would see clearly our desire, our need for Him, and that our desire should be for Him, and that He alone is the one who can make a difference in us. Testing. This passage is a little bit longer. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Christ Jesus, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of highest privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us to learn to endure. Endurance develops strength of character in us, and character strengthens our confident expectation of salvation. And this expectation will not disappoint us, for we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. Romans 5. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Would that we would all be able to do that every day. Because, you know, there's some days I'm there and there's some days I'm not there. There's one more passage I want to talk about, testing. 1 Peter 1:7 says, these trials are only to test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. That's pretty much inconsistent with what you're talking about, Becky. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, and your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tried by fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Christ Jesus is revealed to the whole world. Because that's when you see the reflection. Face to face. Testing. So, testing helps us to be people who have Jesus living in us that live like He lived. So, Jesus was tested. We are going to be tested. Jesus passed the test, and there's going to be days where we do. And He wants those days to increase. But we, in order to be like Jesus, we can't avoid the testing. The inconvenience. The disappointment. The aggravation. The frustration. It's a part of life. It's a fallen world. Even though we are salt and light, we still live there. But it's making us more like Jesus. Especially if this last thing is a part of it, and that is trust. Romans 8, 28, 29, one of my favorite passages. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son, so that His Son would be the firstborn with many brothers and sisters. Trust that even in the midst of dysfunction and trouble and trial and aggravation and frustration, that we can trust that God's purpose and plan for us will not be stopped by anything. And that the worst thing we can do is not trust. Because when we trust, we become people who have Jesus living in them who lived like He lived. It's the fact that I don't trust Jesus that causes me not to do the things that Jesus did. You believe that? Hebrews 10:23 said it a few minutes ago, without wavering. Without wavering. Without wavering. Let us hold tightly to the hope we say we have, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. One of the things that I have learned now that I've lived 55 years is that I have a larger repository of experience with which to fall back on and to say, yes, I know that God really does answer a prayer. I know that God really has changed me. I know that He really has done things that I never would have ever believed that He could do. He really does speak. He really When I was 18 or 19, I didn't have that experience. When I was 32, when I was 35, I didn't have that experience. But now I've lived 20 more years. I've got 20 more years of experience, a volume to look back on. And I know that God is faithful. All the things that I would have hoped and desired that God would have allowed me to enjoy and experience, those things have happened. Not because I've done anything, but because God is faithful. And He fulfills His promise. And He knows our hearts. Have you found that to be true? All these T's are very important for us to get our hands around if we're going to understand what has to happen in our lives and be happening in our lives on a daily basis in order to be people who have Jesus living in us who live like He lived. Not one of them is optional. This is the outline for what has to be going on. And although we don't have to be silly, whenever something bad happens to us, somebody else's dysfunction pours over into our lives, we don't have to go, oh, goody! But we do get to embrace it in a different way. Because we're not supposed to be crazy, but we are supposed to see it differently. Because Christ is in us. Does this make sense? Because we can look pretty stupid, and we can even sound pretty stupid whenever we do the pat answers whenever bad stuff happens in the world. When bad stuff happens to us, we have to be careful. You understand what I'm saying? If we make it sound too packaged, the world goes, you're a bunch of loonies. No, I'm not loony. I'm just trusting beyond what I can see that God is going to do something because He's done it before and He'll do it again. That's different from dismissing it and treating it like it doesn't matter or it's not important. It sure is because it rocks the world. You tell me how many people in Paris, France today whose lives are not rocked to the core by somebody else's dysfunction and evil choices. In the middle of that, if there's God's people, I'm hoping that they're not saying, oh, well, it really is not that bad. They're going to be with God. Well, yeah, we know that's true, but to say stuff like that to the world at that point, what we can say is we're going to deal with it, but we're going to believe that God can do something in the middle of this. That He can touch people, He can move people, He can change people, He can wake them up. Yes, He can. He does do that. And we have all our experience to prove that. But let's not give them pat answers. Let's not give them packaged stuff that sounds idiotic. You understand what I'm saying? Share truth. But let's not be stupid doing it. Okay? Does this make sense? You think I'm off in the corner somewhere? Okay. I'm going to stop here. I'm going to finish next week. I'm going to talk about process because I still got to talk about community. Today, these are just things that have to be going on in order for us individually to be people who have Jesus living in us that live like He lived. We're going to finish this and move on to community, and we'll be done with the process as of next week. If you got any things that God... Actually, listen to God this week and see if He tells you anything about process in your life, about what's important, okay? To make people who have Him in their life, who are their lives, who live like He lived. If God speaks to you about that this week, you bring it to us next week, please. Say, Rick, God said this. Show me this. He pointed me to this passage, and it seemed, okay? If He does that, you please come ready to share next week, okay? All right, let's bow. Father, I want to be a good learner. I want to be a good disciple. Lord, help us not to hold at arm's length or avoid in any way anything that You have for us that will make us more like Jesus. But Lord, help us, Lord, to find a way to trust You and demonstrate that we understand it's hard to trust You. And that, Lord, we're all in process of learning how to do that. And that, Lord, You've always been faithful and we still have a hard time trusting You. Lord, forgive us for that, but at the same time, increase our faith. Lord, I know I've seen great things that You have done in all the people that I see here today that are with us. And Lord, I'm praying that You would build and embolden us, that we would know that You're a God who uses everything we give You, even what's imperfect, and that You do great things to grow Your kingdom when we do. Lord, help these things that we've talked about today to be a part of us, living part of us, so that we know and we see You grow in Your kingdom through us and in us. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.